She's a good friend of mine.
When you go into Fairbanks, do you just normally go in on a trip, or is it just...
Excuse me, ma'am.
Do you spend any time in there now in the winter?
You what?
Do you spend any time in Fairbanks in the winters?
Oh, I did last winter, yeah, a couple of times. Mm-hmm. That's the first time. Mm-hmm. Oh, I always go over once or twice, you know, maybe for a week. Mm-hmm. I stay there till they get tired of feeding me, and they start looking cranky at me, then I get in the plane, come home.
Well, don't you have somebody else you can move in with for a while?
Oh, yeah, I got three nieces there, and I move from one to the other. No, I stay with Nancy all the time now. She's got a big house, and just the two of them.
Where is her home? Where is her home?
Well, it's
right in Fairbanks or over
in Fairbanks? Oh, yes, it's in
Juneau Street, isn't it? Hamilton Acres.
Oh, down
Hamilton Acres,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
On Eagle Street.
Eagle.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back to this mail run by dog team. Walter Roman, you said, used to bring mail in from Fairbanks to Eagle Summit, was it?
Yeah.
And then, was it Morris?
No, he'd at the foot of the Eagle Summit on the other side.
Uh-huh. And then Morris O'Leary would meet it over there.
Him and my brother.
Mm-hmm. Morris O'Leary and Walter Jewell would bring it over to Circle.
Yeah.
And how many years did they carry mail like that? You recall?
How many years?
Yeah, five or six or ten?
No, I think only 3 years. Mm-hmm. Possibly two or three, and then they put her up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first airplane that flew into this area? You came in 1927, so maybe...
The first one? Mm-hmm. First one, I think, was Noel Wien.
Mm-hmm. On floats?
No, he landed on a barge over on the other side.
Of Circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one, I guess, that was ever landed there was Van Eielson. Mm-hmm. Time him and Wilkerson was going...
North.
Mm-hmm. They got lost and landed in Circle. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that might have been? What year?
Well, it was around 24, 25, I suppose.
Around in the middle of 20s, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Johnny Lanz and Tubby Nordell, they were crashed up here and the plane so long. Well, whose plane? Who was flying that plane? Was Johnny Lanz flying it? He must have.
No,
was he about it? Who was flying that plane?
Art Hines, wasn't it?
Was that who was flying it, huh? That was one of the early planes coming over
this
way.
Art Hines. They went up for the Golden Days celebration.
Mm-hmm. At the Circle there or somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson.
Oh, was it Dawson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were going to Dawson.
Yeah, that's right. And they crashed on 12-mile summit up here. Mm-hmm. Was it 12-mile or Eagle?
No, it was way over...
It was over in the 40s.
Way over in the Good Pasture
good
country.
Good Pasture, yeah.
Well, somebody crashed their plane up here where we saw the plane up there on one of these summits for quite a few years up there.
That is some army guy and his wife.
Oh, is that who that was? I thought Johnny Lanz and that bunch were in there.
No, that was... Was that Arnold Norton? Not Arnold Norton.
Well, it was Tubby. We called him
Tubby.
Yeah. I don't know. What was his name? What was Tubby's name?
They had been over to Dawson. They were coming back, and it was over the Good Pasture.
Yeah.
And they ran into bad weather.
That's where that happened.
It was Art Hines was flying the plane. He was in partners with...
Was it Rodebaugh?
Huh?
Remember, Rodebaugh was one of the early companies.
No, he was in partners in this Service Motors there with...
Percy Hubbard?
Yes, Percy Hubbard and then the other guy. What was...
Mm-hmm. Let's see, who was
Hoops?
No.
Bob Hoops?
No.
His son runs the Service Motors now.
Ginther?
Ginther, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ernie Ginther.
Well, I guess it belonged to Art Hines and Hubbard.
Yeah, Percy Hubbard.
And Ernie was working for him. Mm-hmm. And after they got that crack up, Ernie bought in with him. Mm-hmm. Or Ginther. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ernie Ginther. Mm-hmm.
Well, Wilkins and Ben Ileson, and maybe it was 24 or 25, they landed, made an emergency landing here because they got lost, you say?
They landed in Circle on the other opposite side. There used to be a big bar there years ago.
And then the next plane, you weren't here then, but then when you came over in 27, then the first plane you remember was Noel Ween.
Yes, he brought Elsie O'Leary home.
You think that was the first commercial flight into Circle?
Yes, I guess it was. As far as I know, there might have been others, but...
We should ask Elsie about that someday.
She should remember it. Because I know she come home from McClutna. And...
Been to school down there, huh?
And Noel, is either one of those flyers. I wouldn't say just which one, but I think it was Noel Ween or Tom Girard, some of them.
Well, what happened when they heard the plane come? Did everybody in the town run out and watch?
Oh, yeah, they all stood on the bank. And
big event.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did he come over to Circle? The pilot, did he come over to...
No, I don't think so. No. He just landed and then took right off.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did they start, get back to this dog team mail. He said, Wilbur, Jewel, and Walter, your brother, carried the mail for two or three seasons, and then they started bringing it in by air. So, what, do you remember what year it was they started flying it in?
No, I don't.
Well, Walter Roman still lives in Fairbanks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's over on Fish Creek mining.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm. Who was telling him? I think it was at a Pioneer Christmas dinner or mug up one time, and Jeff Studdard was talking about Walter Roman. Mm-hmm. Jeff carried some mail one season or maybe two winters or so.
He what?
Jeff Studdard. Did you ever know him over here, or did he?
I know him in Fairbanks, yes.
Yeah. Or maybe it was out of Chattanooga where he carried the mail for a couple of seasons.
I don't ever remember of him.
Mm-hmm. Must have been from Fairbanks or Chattanooga the other direction.
Well, the train hauled it then. Mm-hmm. The TVR.
Mm-hmm. Panama Valley Railroad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's quite the train, Tudorville trolley. Stopped at every mining camp. That was a lot of fun. What was the average number of dogs you'd use on these mail trips with dogs?
Around 9, 11.
You used that many dogs, and just fed them the salmon. The dog salmon.
Well, I think a lot of the drivers cooked cornmeal or rice for their dogs sometimes, didn't they?
Well, they mostly all had salmon. Mm-hmm. And then when they was at home, well, they always cooked for them. Mm-hmm. But,
they'd give them one of these salmon strips put near, to a dog, not the full salmon. The salmon would be stripped in about three pieces, and they'd give one of these pieces to each.
They'd give them the whole salmon.
Would you give them the whole salmon?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know Jess only gave a piece of it.
They just split them down the middle and leave backbone and everything in them, then let them dry. Mm-hmm. Put them out.
I guess work dogs had to have more than the other dogs. Jess's dogs, she'd just give them a strip of this salmon. But, that was quite a feat driving those dogs, don't you think, over those hills and steep places?
Oh, yes, it wasn't too pleasant sometimes.
No. Was Wilbur one of those pictures where they were going up the steep Eagle Summit over here?
I thought...
I believe.
One of those pictures that Mary Warren has. Mm-hmm. I think you're in that.
Driving one of the teams up the hill.
Well, not of it is dogs.
Mm-hmm. No?
Must have been your brother Walter and Morris.
Walter and Morris. Mm-hmm.
My husband used to go over to Jewel and O'Leary's garage there in Grail and sit around. They'd have little gab sessions over there most every day. You ever get in on any of those?
No, I never was around there much. And I stayed over here most time then.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a tradition among some of the fellows around town, you know, they're friends.
Oh, yes.
They go over there
yeah.
every day and sit around and chew the fat. And,
argue mostly.
One of them, he'd go over there just to, he'd just change his side every once in a while on the argument just to get it going good, you know, and that was John Clark.
Yeah.
You know Clark.
Oh, yes. God, yes.
How long have you known him?
Well, he came over here with the freight lines. I think it was in 56 or 57.
With Gezi's, when they went up to...
Up north.
Up north into
yeah.
Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was in, I think the winter 54 and 55, when they started the Dew Line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That first year they went through. And then they went through, I think the next year they went over through Eagle.
Yeah, that's when they went broke.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the same winter my husband went up to Barrow. He went back up there and opened up the camp, and they were just starting the Dew Line. And it was about Christmas of 54 when he went up. That's the same winter that, I think that was the same winter that Andy Warwick was killed.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Clark, he used to go in there and after Walter got two or three drinks in him, you know, he was really arguing then, you know. John would go in there and he'd get him all riled up, you know, and then he'd get Walter so mad that he'd start pounding the table, and about that time Clark would walk out, you know. Next morning he'd come back. Of course, Walter, he'd forget all about it, you know. But he used to, every night, he'd always go off and leave Walter in a bad humor.
John Clark loves to do that. Mm-hmm. And he used to try to do that to me, and at first, before I got to know him very well, he'd get my goat every once in a while. Finally, I got so mad at him, I swore at him and told him that, I don't know what it was over, you know, and I said, God damn you, you can blah, 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 blah. You know, I started talking his language, and he started knocking it off.
Yeah,
he really loves to razz.
Yeah.
If he can get you mad and going and big argument started, you know, political argument, he's just the happiest, just as happy as he can be.
Yeah.
But that was kind of a little ritual over there. Jewel in the Larry's garage.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
yeah. Oh, yes. That was quite notorious for years.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to have a hole in the ground. They'd put their bottle down there in the little thing in the floor, you know. Of course, they thought they were hiding it from everybody, but everybody knew where it was. I think their wives knew where it was, too.
Oh, yes.
Well, before we knew refrigerators, they put in every little cabin. I know our house, we off down in the kitchen, there's a little trap door off on one side there, and we'd be cold down under there and put everything down there to keep cold. Sometimes things would even freeze down there. I know we used to put our barrel of blueberries down in there. And when the season got warm and we didn't realize it, and the blueberries were working, so we had blueberry wine. Because the berries that thawed and started working had blueberry wine. Did you ever make blueberry wine, Wilbur?
No,
no. You never did, huh?
My mother, though, one time picked a bunch of high bush currants, and she made put them in a 5-gallon keg, you know, and she didn't know she was making alcohol, you know. But anyway, when later on was she brought it downtown, so she gave me a taste of it, you know, and it was real good. And so anyway, of course, she didn't know it. My stepfather, he used to get drunk on it, you know, and I took him home drunk one night, and she asked me what he'd been drinking, and I says, oh, nothing but that wine, which was a fact. Well, she says, I'm going to throw that away tomorrow. She says, no more of that. She says, I didn't know I was making something to get drunk on when I made that. So anyway, that afternoon, she went downtown, and I hitched up the team and drove up there and swiped the keg of wine. I told her, she asked me if I got it, and I told her no at first. I told her I thought Grant stole it. And, of course, then she jumped him, and he didn't know anything about it. So I told her then that I took it.
Yeah,
it.
I
took it. I says, I'm certainly not going to let you throw that good wine away. I said, I don't care, just so you don't give it to Grant. Well, I says, I'll see you don't get no more.
Well, speaking of wine, did Circle have a pretty good bootlegger up here in the 30s and the 20s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when I first went there, there was a guy up on the, well, it was former, it was on the old Summer Road, not the way they go now. And he used to take cranberries and blueberries and stuff like that. And he made strong wine.
Were there any mule steels? Stills? Did anybody make the white mule up there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was two or three of them.
What did they use to make that? What do they use to make a white mule? They have to have grain or potatoes?
Yeah, grain, potatoes, hops, and after it ferments so long, well, then you run it through a still.
When I was talking to Charlie Kramer the other day, we were talking about farmers, you know, and when they had the Pedro Monument ceremony this year, Elk Busby, you probably know Elk Busby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
He spoke, and he was recalling the names of early day farmers. And he left out a couple of names. One of them was Mike Yankovich. Mm-hmm. And we live out there near Yankovich, where his farm used to be. But I heard how Mike used to make bootleg whiskey and bring it into town under his... He'd bring in a load of potatoes, and then underneath he'd have several jugs of bootleg whiskey. And Charlie was telling me about some of the early bootleggers. He said one guy there on Isabel Creek there in College Road said there was a bridge there, and he used to hide his bootleg whiskey under that bridge. I guess that's where they...
It's just one of these little low bridges with a couple planks across, like we went out over a couple of times up here.
He said that there were, I don't know what, I guess they were looking for him and trying to find his whiskey or something. Of course, that was out there near the dairy where Charlie, you know, the Hinckley dairy that Charlie bought.
So. Did you know the Lazelles? Mm-hmm. Harvey Lazelle, the Lazelles that had a farm at the foot of Burchill out there?
Harvey, it was great friends. We worked together 2 winters hauling wood.
Oh, did you? Uh-huh. Harvey and Hazel, and there was one other. What was the other one?
Mason.
Mason, that's right. Uh-huh.
He was over here after that flood.
Oh, was he?
And driving for the state.
Mm-hmm. Harriet was up here a couple of years ago, come to visit out the home out there. I don't remember her married name now, but it was quite a family. They had quite a farm there across from where that slate slide is, you know, up there off of Wainwright. Mm-hmm. You turn left as you come down off the cemetery and go up that road there.
Well, when you came over here in 27, there was still a lot of mining up in these foothills or on the creeks.
Yeah, up Deadwood and up Maston and up on Bonanza.
Did you ever do any work for the Berry Dredging Company or the...
No, just only haul freight.
Hauled freight for them.
That's all.
Well, he's one who struck it rich.
Yeah, Maston was a rich crick.
Well, he didn't do so badly over there at Cripple Creek in Hester either.
No.
Yeah, they just opened... they call it, let's see, the Berry Gold Room, is that what it's called, at the museum?
At the university.
And, if you have a chance to...
Have you been in that? Did you
go into the museum next time you're in town?
I haven't been there this summer, too.
Yeah, the big opening just a couple
it's
weeks
very
ago.
Nice
yeah, I've been
display.
Here, though, so I must go see that when I go back.
Yeah, Wilbur would enjoy seeing that, I think, because they've got some early pictures and some gold, some of the tools. They've done a very, very nice job on the display.
When I come over here, Barry, he was outside. There was a fellow named Joe Bush that was in charge then, Jimmy Hamill. Mm-hmm. Jimmy only come 2 years and then he quit, and a fellow named Rasmussen run the hydraulic. Christensen took it after that.
Well, whatever happened to that dredge?
What?
What happened to their dredge?
I just looked at
somebody burned it down, I guess, or something. Mm-hmm. Burned it up. A fellow by the name of Carr was supposed to have bought it. He was gone. He was gone from here about a week when the dredge burned up.
Was it still operating?
No. It hadn't operated for several years.
Well, what about Frank? Was it Frank Miller at Miller House? That built Miller House?
Yeah.
What's your first recollection of him? In Circle or over there? Did he have the roadhouse when you came over?
No, over in Livengood's first time I remember seeing him. He was marshaled there.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was marshaled there for a while, and then he come by. He worked for the, I guess he went to Nulata, but the Indians down there was too tough for him. He couldn't take it. So then he come back and he went to work for the FE company. And then the next thing why he was at Cassiar, and his wife run the Cassiar Roadhouse. There was a wonderful cook.
Is any part of the old Cassiar Roadhouse left? We used to be able to drive along and look down on it. Is the road changed?
Now.
Is the road changed, or is it just because it's grown up so that you can't see it?
Grown up. Spring of the year and in the fall.
You can see it.
If you know right where to look.
Mm-hmm.
Three of us come out here a year ago last spring,
mm-hmm.
and I located it.
Uh-huh. There's not much of it left, though, now, huh?
No.
There's
no
quite yet. A place down there.
Yeah, the buildings is mostly caved in, and somebody took a lot of the tin off of the FE had a big garage there,
mm-hmm.
and a tin garage.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took all that off.
Hmm. That was on the old mail trail, you know, you used to go down through on that.
Through the bottom,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you can still see the mail, that is if you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can still see it,
mm-hmm.
see it all along on the ridge over there on the benches,
mm-hmm.
but anybody that didn't know wouldn't know what it was. The one going into Cassiar, well, you used to come in like this, and then here's the roadhouse, and then you went out like that to hit the trail again.
I remember we used to get to see
you
it
can
when
still
we drive
see
out
that.
In the springs, but so grown up now you can't see it anymore. I was looking for the old Faith Creek dam up there too, and I couldn't see that. So going up, they can't see that anymore.
No, I looked this spring when I come over, and I couldn't see it.
Uh-huh. Do you know what milepost that would be? Just approximately.
Well, you know where Face Creek is?
No.
No, that's what I.
That's where he's trying to locate it.
Yeah,
I
just
remember.
Don't know the milepost where
he. When you come down off of Faith Creek Hill, and then you cross a red bridge.
Is it a narrow one of the narrow bridges?
Huh?
Is it one of the old bridges?
No, it's a new one that's got uprights on it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Faith Creek there.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way up into Faith
Creek. Going back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you go back, you just when you come down off of that hill, and there's a over on the right there's a cabin, and
mm-hmm.
a long cabin. Don't set your watch for that. That's fast.
Uh-huh. That's on this side of Eagle. Is that on this side? No, it's on the other side.
No, that's way down the other side of Faith Creek.
Yeah.
Right at Faith Creek.
Yeah, down
there's
the
a long
side
cabin
of
there. And then right there is this red bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go about an eighth of a mile, mm-hmm. and you can look down and see the dam.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can't now. It's grown up.
Well, if you look close enough.
You probably can see it. Uh-huh. We'll have to watch that going back. Because I was telling you, I'm trying to show her places coming out that I remembered, but I couldn't find anything on the Faith Creek at all.
No, well, everything rolled up so
I
bad.
Wish they put names on these bridges,
you know.
You know,
I think they had Faith Creek labeled, but the last time I drove over, the sign was down. Didn't they have a sign at Faith Creek
mm-hmm.
that said Faith Creek?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I thought I saw it a couple of times, but then the last time I drove back over, it wasn't marked anymore. I don't know, I may be wrong, but...
Well, I couldn't say. I know that maybe you was taking a picture of my feet. You was looking down there. I was going to put them out of sight.
Well, they're nice looking feet.
Yeah, nothing wrong there. They're comfortable.
I'd like to get back to your, just for a minute, to get back to your family. Your father was Zenith Jewell. Did your father die in Chattanooga?
Yes. Yeah. No, he died
in Fairbanks.
In Oregon someplace.
In Oregon. Well, did he, and you, I don't want to get too personal here, but I'm just trying to establish, when your mother was married to Grant Courtney in 1916 or 17,
and, 16 or 17, yeah. must have been.
Well, had your father died before that?
No.
Did they separate?
Oh, they were separated for years.
For years,
yeah,
I see.
My mother ran a restaurant for 9 years in Chattanooga to support my brother and I.
That Chattanooga must have been quite a town those days.
Huh? Yes, it was.
Oh, yes, sir. I remember Gagnon, wasn't it? Had the drugstore there? Gagnon? Gagnon, that was it.
He had a drugstore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he married one of the...
Keeler girls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. My sister used to go to school with the Keeler girls. Mm-hmm.
Goldie Keeler,
uh-huh. What was the other Keeler girl's name? The Goldie and... Ruby? Was it Ruby and Goldie Keeler?
I don't remember. I know. Then one was Dan Keeler.
Mm-hmm.
He died there years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then your father died outside in Oregon.
Yeah.
And then your mother married Grant Courtney then. When did your mother die?
38. That's the only way I can keep records. I know when she passed away, and I have to figure back and forth from there.
From there, I see.
She died in Fairbanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The last time, my father, he come in the circle there and spent a year with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I know my mother was still alive because her and Grant come over, mm-hmm. and he was there.
Then your brother, you just had the one brother, Walter.
Yes,
no sisters?
That is enough.
Why'd you say that?
My mother always said that if there'd been any more, she didn't know what she'd have done. Two was ornery enough. She said, I don't know how one woman could have two ornery boys like you two.
What'd you do to give her a bad time?
Oh, no, she just get mad at us sometimes.
What year was it that Walter died?
What year?
Yeah.
That I couldn't say either now.
Not too
about
long.
About four or five years ago.
Yeah.
That must have been about 5 years ago.
Now, one of the last things he made was for my husband. He made him a stand-up drafting table. He was an excellent carpenter.
Yeah, oh yes.
Yeah, he had just finished that when he died.
He just finished it the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Well, Geraldine, she's married to a man just about the same as Walter.
Mm-hmm.
He's built about a third of the buildings in Fairbanks, or superintendent of them.
Is that this D. Walter? This D. Walter? D. Walter?
No.
What's his name?
Lazac.
Hmm?
Lazac.
Lazac. Oh, I never heard that name.
He built the penny store,
oh.
And he built as a superintendent of them, mm-hmm. and the news miner.
How do you spell that? Capital L-E?
I don't know.
How would you spell that?
Yeah, I think it's L-E. Mm-hmm.
I think it's L-I, isn't it?
Huh?
I thought it was L-I-Z.
It could be now.
O-T-T-E. Jerry Lizotte.
Two words, L-I and
no,
N-Z.
No, it's all one word.
Oh, all one word.
L-I-Z-O-T-T-E.
Uh-huh.
So you got, how many nieces do you have, nieces and nephews do you have?
How many nieces? Mm-hmm. Three. Mm-hmm.
Three nieces? No nephews?
No.
So they're all Walter's daughters?
Yeah, all Walter's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, I'm trying to remember her first name, I know one of them. One of them married to Sue Wilbur, I'm going to let you go back to your sawmill if you want to, and we're going to head on down the trail, but I'd sure like to...
What time is it now?
...hear from you when you, you know, I'd like to talk to you again sometime in Fairbanks when we're not keeping you from your day's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just happened to catch me here now sawing this supper, otherwise I wouldn't be too busy now.
Yeah.
I take it pretty easy.
Well, do your feet bother you quite a bit, or you can get around on
them? Not anymore. Not since I couldn't walk for 2 years here.
Is that right? Holy smokes.
And,
rebar really fixed you up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it fixed me up good. I was supposed to have the gout and eczema, and God, I don't know what all.
Well, eczema, isn't that a breaking out? Did you have a breakout on you?
Oh, my whole body is in my blood.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I guess it is yet, but I got some pills once in a while when my feet begin to bother me. Well, I just...